So last week I was talking about seasons at the beginning of my message, and I wasn't really sure why, and I didn't have a title for this week. And then I realized that's where we're going. We're talking about seasons. I always jump right in. Our kids are staying in with us today. There are some activity sheets and things in the back. Feel free to spread out on the tables or bring them back to your seats. Use those. I wanted to keep everyone in with us today. I'm going to start our message time from Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. Did I miss something, Deb? Okay. Father, we thank you that you're here with us, and we just invite you into this message, this time. Just have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Am I echoing or am I good? Sound good? Fabulous. All right. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. For everything, there is a season. Was there a song written about this? I'm not playing it for you, sorry. But if you go to open mic on Wednesday nights, you might get to hear Devin pull it out of the archives. I don't know. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. Time to keep silent? Oh, just kidding. Christine, if you're listening, you know, time to keep silent? I know, some people sit in their seat going, isn't it the time to keep silent, Pastor? Like, the game starts in an hour and 93 minutes. Anyway, sorry. A time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. This passage is talking about the seasons of life. It is our job as believers to discern the season and act accordingly. The thing about seasons is that we don't control them. We just get the opportunity to partner with them. For example, if a farmer said, hey, you know, it's winter, I'm kind of bored. There's only a little bit of snow on the ground. It's only been frozen for a couple weeks. I think I'm going to go turn the soil and go ahead and plant my harvest because, you know, I got a lot of things coming up in the spring. Let me just get that out of the way. What would be the result? Well, the machine would probably break down, right? It might turn a little of the soil. I don't know. The seed would not go into the ground. It would sit on the ground, and it would either spoil or be carried away. So come spring, as that harvest is supposed to pop through, where's it going to be? It's going to be gone. So we have to partner with the season, don't we? In the same way, we must partner with the Lord as he moves us from season to season. Today I want to ask the question, how do we do that? I have three things, because you know that's what a good sermon has, three points. I think in threes. Because they actually say only give one point, because it's easier to remember. But I have three. First, I think we have to discern the season. We have to understand what the season is. You know, if I think it's spring and it's actually winter, I'm going to ruin my seed, right? I'm going to put it out there. I'm going to be like, oh, great, this is going to go into the soil. It's just going to be amazing. And then I find out it's winter and it's all ruined. So we need to discern the season, don't we? We do this by seeking the heart of the Father. Oftentimes the process goes like this. A trial or difficult situation, then there's some tension and then training, and then we have understanding what this has been. Let me explain. We often go to the Father seeking direction when we feel like we've run out of, like, the instruction and the things he's given us to already do. Oftentimes we walk on that. And to be honest, we need to be careful in that because, you know, Abraham could have done that as well. And he was asked to give his son up as a sacrifice, wasn't he? And if Abraham had stopped seeking at that point, I got it figured out. I don't need to go. He kept seeking, and the Lord provided a ram. And I'd like to believe that's what the Lord had through the testing and through that whole time. This thing that's so precious to him, he's willing to give it back to me. But I have provision in that, right? But I think a lot of us, we wait till it's like the last second and Isaac's on the altar and we stop looking, we stop seeking. So we keep seeking. And in this seeking, we find that it's a difficulty. This was a difficulty for Abraham. His son's on the altar. Lord, you gave me this gift. My son's on the altar. The knife's coming up for the blow. And the ram is in the thicket. You know, we feel the tension as we're seeking him. How is this even possible? You provided, I mean, you allowed my wife to give birth when she's past the age of barrenness. And you provided Isaac, and now you're taking him away. The tension. And so as we walk this out, you know, it's often that time filled with waiting, evaluating, and walking with your leaders as you push through to understanding of the season. And I kind of use the word leaders. I have kind of a list. I believe our parents are part of our leaders. Even ungodly parents, we're still called to honor our mother and our father. And so when we do that, there are things that can be released over our life. So when we're in these hard times, it's okay to process that with them. They might not speak everything right on, but there might be a peace in that. We honor our mother and our father. Our friends, the Lord has placed people around us. So we process this with them. You know, sometimes, why is this trial? What is this tension? And from the inside, we can't see it. But from the outside, they can just begin to bring understanding or encouragement in an area that we're just blinded to ourselves. Finally, our spiritual leaders could be pastors, small group leaders, a mentor. We lean into them in these times to walk through that. As we do that, it helps us process what this time is, this tension, and get clarity to the season. Proverbs 19:20 says, "Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future." How many people like to listen to advice and accept instruction? I actually think we probably do, just not all the time, right? We want to know that it's going to work, then sign us up, right? But Proverbs says, "Listen to advice and accept instruction, then you may gain wisdom in the future." So we need these people in our life to walk towards the wisdom for ahead. Finally, I believe we receive training in this process of understanding the season. Or discerning the season. We can't move to the next step, into the next thing that the Lord has without being developed for this season. I propose like the Israelites. You know, they came to the promised land. And, you know, two of the guys, they discerned the season, didn't they? And they said, "Let's do it. It's ready." And 10 others said, "No, look at this. Let's weigh this. No, not going to happen." And, you know, the fact is the Israelites did make it to the promised land. There was a generation that didn't, but Israel still ended up in the promised land. Israel, in the 40 years of wandering, didn't starve. They didn't go without clothes. It said their sandals didn't wear out. So they sustained. They lived the rest of their life, just not in that promised land. I propose there was still training for the people of Israel in that 40 years to step into the next thing. How about Nehemiah with rebuilding the wall? There were times in the process when it was like the pause button got hit. And it would have been very easy for this shaker and mover, this guy that's used to making things happen, to just go and make some things happen instead of waiting and watching what the Lord was going to do. In that, he grew and developed. So once we've discerned the season, what comes next? Next is obedience. Obedience is the next step in the process. It's how we partner with the season that the Lord has us as he's identifying that. Genesis 12, 1 through 4. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from the country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Hey, you're all the families. We're all the families. There's a promise. And this is what, for years, this part has baffled me. Not really, but it does. It just says, so Abraham went. Three words. Sorry, so Abram went. He's not Abraham yet. So Abram went. As the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him, Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abraham had lived some life. Abraham had stuff going on. He had prestige in his area. This was the land that his father was from. He knew it. He understood it. And the Lord said, go to a land. Okay. Wait. Which land did you say? Oh, I'll show you. Just go. Oh. You know, most of us are like, well, I have an idea, God. How about you show me where and then I'll start going? Or how about, can I just wrap up a few things? My retirement plan would really be better if I could just take two and a half, three years with this. And then let's do it. But verse 4 says, so Abraham went. And we know from the story that there are many promises that Abraham walked into. But the other side of the coin was he walked away from some things, didn't he? A major act of obedience. And I don't know why I said major act, because obedience is obedience. It either is or it isn't. It's like you either do it or you don't. Abraham chose to obey. He didn't list the excuses. And you know what? I think he could have come up with some good ones. I think we find ourselves in moments where the Lord's asking things of us for our season, saying, well, did you notice this? You know, we might want to see this happen. Or the excuses. Well, how is this going to even work? You haven't even told me where to go. You want me to get all my family? And I mean, and his wealth went with him. So herds and I can't imagine. They were noticed as they went. Let's just put it that way. You couldn't miss them coming by. But Abraham partnered with the season. It is in partnering with the season that we walk towards the promise. There cannot be a harvest if there's not a sowing. The grain of wheat cannot grow unless it goes into the ground and dies. Some of us are familiar with John 12:24. What does it say comes from that place of death? Unless the grain of wheat falls into the ground, and what does it have to do? It has to die. It will bear much fruit. Scripture says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He lights up just enough for us to take the next step. Abraham saw just enough for the next step. And he walked out in obedience. And as you read his story, you see the steps revealed. And you see him bring things took place. So after we've partnered with the season, we're then ready for the final part. And this is the part that can be hard. And that's the embracing the change or the next season. I think we all have been through enough change that we know those things can be hard to embrace and walk forward into, can't they? We can choose to fight the season, or we can embrace it and walk the promise towards the promise. Corey and I, from a real early stage of our marriage, have walked this process. This has been part of how we've done it. And I don't know that somebody wrote it out for us. I just think the Lord put great people around us that help us discover this. We've had our parents to watch how they've navigated life. We've had others in our life. And so these are things that we've learned to do and partner embracing, you know, the seasons for our lives. After walking these processes, we've been able to partner and be part of some incredible things with others, some incredible things in our own marriage, and some incredible things with our sons. Shout out to my sons, Sam, Eli, Judah. Yo. We have recognized that the Lord has made it clear to us that the season is changing for our family. After 3 years of sowing and pouring into a body that we've come to really love, we feel the Lord is moving us into a new season. I will be resigning my position as lead pastor here at Wells Hopeful Gospel Church effective December 10th. This decision was shared with the board this week, and we've begun to seek counsel in moving forward. We don't have all the details figured out, both for my family or for the church family. There's going to be more information coming soon as to what the process and steps will look like. For now, we just need to commit this time to the Lord, seeking Him for what is this season, discerning. Use the three steps in that of trial, tension, and training. This body, it's been through a lot of hard change over the last 5 years, but that doesn't disqualify it from the promises of God. It just means there's been a real pressing towards what the Lord has next. What is that next season? When I look around this room, and I've been doing it the whole time, knowing this part was coming, and see the ones that are pressed into the promises of God for their lives and this place, I am encouraged about what the Lord has ahead for this house. The Lord, Ed shared this prophetic word, but it was very timely. I believe it began as timely for them, but it's been something that I've held on to in this season. Four things to keep in mind for your next chapter. I was taken into a vision recently where I saw the Father's hand hovering over a giant book. I watched as His hand came down and turned the page. Then I heard the phrase, "It's time to turn to the next chapter." Many of us will look back on this year of 2019 and think, well, chalk that up to transition. So much of life has changed. God is hitting the reset in our lives. We're getting priorities straightened out. We're managing our time and what we set our focus on differently. Some of us have even been called to move to new locations geographically. We've had a year of really working hard to produce the new. The reset will bear good fruit. As you find yourself turning the page or jumping to the next chapter in life, here are four things the Lord is showing me to keep in mind. And again, I'm reading this prophetic word. These aren't my things, but they're good. One, embrace the change. Change is never easy. I myself always feel a bit sad and nostalgic when the chapter of one season of my life is coming to a close. It's important in this moment that we don't fight the hand that's turning the page. Resisting all that comes with the change won't help you propel forward. Instead of grieving the loss, God is going to shift mindsets to that of joyful expectation of what is to be gained. The fear-filled question of what if I miss out by changing is a direct assault from the enemy, trying to keep you cemented in the old. Advancement and forward momentum is upon us. And this is a kingdom declaration. Where you have felt stuck in the previous season, I am declaring breakthrough into the new. I speak that over this body right now. Embrace the change that is upon you. It is setting you up for great things that God has in store. The second thing is shedding and organizing. It's time to hit the reset button and reorganize our lives. One day, as I was picking out paint colors and painting stripe after stripe on our front door, testing out different options, I heard the Lord say, it's time to get ducks in a line. It's time to organize. Organizing takes time. So in order to prepare for this next season, we are crossing into it, require preparation by setting apart time to sort through our stuff. Guard your time to shed unnecessary things or responsibilities. Reset and reorganize. Organization of our personal lives, time management, and what we invest in is key right now. Location change. God is moving many of us geographically to a physical new location. It is the vision the Lord showed me. I saw new houses pop up on a map. Ministry headquarters will change locations. Roles within ministries will shift. There is also a positional shift coming within companies and employment. Embrace it. It is all part of God's great plan for your life. Finally, your heart will be met. Years down the road, you'll look back and think, wow, that shift and change was so needed for where I am today. Your heart will be met. Needs that you have now will be fulfilled in this great turning of the page in the next chapter of life. So don't worry. Anticipate the new. And then a passage with it, Ephesians 3:20. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all things. He will achieve infinitively more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. If you wanted to look this up for yourself, her name's Anna Werner. She's out of Kansas City. Or we can get a copy to you. But I've grabbed hold of this and said, there's some things this is helping me process. I know this is a lot for a Sunday morning. I probably could have just shared what was going on, but there's process that's in this. And I felt like we need some tools for this process. I do. I have to walk this out with process, with the Lord, with my family, with others in my life. But I wanted to give a little bit of just, I don't even like the word protocol, but just some ways to move forward during this time. Choose health in this process. We're a process. And we can make it messy, and messy isn't always, but be healthy. Have good conversations. The board, Ed and Denise Wasdorp, Shane, Devin, Regan, they're all available to process with you. They don't have all the answers, so don't press them for them. We're, like I said, we don't have those. We'll share those as we get them. Same for me. I'll sit down and process with you. I plan to. There's some messages kind of stirring in my heart about the process, too, that I think will help us as we walk forward. But I'll sit down. But again, I won't give you answers because they're not there. Yes, all the time. That's for everybody. Shelby is just able to get up there and partner for you guys. It'd be easy in this time to make accusations, pass blame, be overwhelmed. Those are just a couple things. I mean, we all kind of know what mindset things would come at us in this kind of a time. Instead, choose to pray for this process. God is in the seasons. He created the seasons. He's given us guidance on how to walk the seasons. He's a good father. And he has good things for us. We could point to everyone point to yourself. He has good things for me. He has good things for you. Begin praying, like, Lord, who do you have next for this body? Who are you calling to lead? It's a big deal. Just like we pray for our children, that, all except for Sam, we still are having a conversation about this. But we're praying for their wife. We pray for Sam. He just isn't in agreement that there will be one. But we pray for them for the right person to come, you know, that they get to meet them and have that healthy relationship. In the same way, be praying. Pray for those that are walking that process to see that person come in. Pray for this body in this transition season. You might have a good day one day, a bad day the next day. But the prayer of the person having the good day that day is going to lift you up. Be praying for each other. And finally, pray for the Tanner family. This is a huge change for our family. There are a lot of unknowns in this as well, and we covered your prayers through it. I don't actually have a ministry position or something waiting for me. I just feel a calling. I've identified what the season is. I feel like I've heard go, and we know where we're going back to Rochester, but I don't feel like it's a back, like, hiding. I think it's a calling. That's, otherwise, we wouldn't be making this shift. But we don't have details. We're trusting the Lord to help us with that. Today isn't goodbye, but guess what? It's quickly upon us. So let's cherish what that looks like, that those moments. I don't know. We've discovered Rochester's not so far away. We thought it was when we moved here. And then we do doctor's visits and we see friends. And so but one thing we are doing is embracing this season, because we know it continues to move us towards the promise of the Father. And you know, there are times where we can hold on to something because, like, remember Abraham, like, maybe I can take care of a few more things. I'd like to see a few more things happen. That was the feeling I had. Lord, really? There's some things I've been anticipating and going after and believing are going to happen. And it was hard to say, okay, well, you're going to do that. I just am not part of it. Some sow, some reap a harvest. It's actually been a little hard to go embrace this what this next season's going to be. I got to walk the prayer walk yesterday, and it was really nostalgia. Just wanted to go up. I've had some special times with the Father over these 3 years on that walk. And just begun being just inundated with some of the joys of this season. You know, different ones come to mind and different special times we've had. Whether it was me, whether it's as, you know, a family, whether it's, you know, stuff that I know my boys got to be part of. And the Lord allowed those things. The Lord's knitted us in different ways. You know, when we're about kingdom work, kingdom doesn't suffer relationships because of assignments. Those relationships, and we don't know how he moves us in and out, how he weaves our paths that are ahead. We know it's a hard season. So I encourage each one here to embrace. We all have a season. Each one of us has a season. We need to discern that season. We need to walk in obedience. And, you know, it's a lot easier to embrace it. So while this is kind of a community announcement, a family announcement, this is also a personal challenge for each one. Like, this is life. Embrace the season the Father has you in so you can grow through it and continue moving towards the promises of God over your life. And I don't mean grow through it like just get through it so you can be done with it. I mean grow. There's joy in growth. There's pain in growth. But it's there. If we just rush through life just trying to get to the goal, we miss so much of the gold. We miss so much of what he's set before us to encounter and be part of, the relationships. You know, so we could ask the question, why are we 3 years? Is it just easier to stay in Rochester? That was a good question one of my kids asked. Wouldn't it have just been easier to stay? You don't have to move twice and redo friend stuff and the sadness and there's so many emotions. Yeah, maybe. But it's not about just a simplicity. It's about the things that happen in that process, in that time. I don't have anything else in my message today. I want us, you know, as we're processing the season for this body, processing the season that we find ourselves in, some retired, some just starting back to school, some looking ahead to what college is going to look like. Lots of different seasons. What is the Lord asking for you to partner with in that season? Go after it. Go after it. It's not always easy. But we've got to go after it. We've got to partner because we're going to see the fruit there. Unless the seed falls into the ground and dies, there can't be fruit. So allow yourself to go into the ground so life can come out. Amen. Let me pray for us. Father, there's not really a guidebook for a Sunday like today. We don't really want one. We just want to be authentic and real, relational. That's been Corey and I's heart. Father, help all of us in this room, and there's some that aren't here that are going to find out different ways. There's those in the community that we've been able to just connect with, that this body's connected with. There's just so many unknowns ahead. Father, walk with us. Help us not to look at the impossible, but at the promise, at the things that you're asking of us right now and step towards those things. Father, we can't lose hope in well-doing. There's promise as we continue in that. Just help us, Lord. Walk with us. Walk with this body. Walk with the Tanner family. And Father, we pray for who you may be bringing into this place ahead. Walk with them. Intersect them with this place. Father, you do have great things ahead for this house. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been here. You had assignment where we went after it, and we believe, Father, the things that you've said are for ahead. So, Father, we continue to cry out for those things. Have your way in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We love you guys. I'm going to put the mic down and just be up here. Whatever. Be blessed in your day.